Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Meta. I'm your host, Jay Larson, and joining me this week, we have a very special guest, someone who's new to The Meta, and I'll try to get your name right. I'm sure I'll pronounce it wrong, and you can help me out, but Joonas Heinonen?
Pretty close. So, hi, my name is Joonas Heinonen.
Okay, Joonas.
That like the brothers
makes sense. All right, so, Joonas, you were someone who was recommended by the Patreon supporters of the podcast, and someone who plays a fair bit of Convergence. Could you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, sure. So, well, I come from Finland, and I played the War Machine game now for, like, let's say, I guess it's 8 years now, and out of those 8 years, I'm close to five or six on Convergence, more or less like pop and drop. I seem to be coming back constantly to Convergence, but I dabble also on Crix and Retribution, and I'm not sure. It seems that all the good players of the world, you've gone through everyone if you have to go and select me. I mean, I've never won any major event myself, but I've been representing Finland a few times in WTC.
Awesome. So, you was War Machine the first miniatures game that you played, or
no? So I'm now 32, but when I was like 8 years old and I basically couldn't speak English, I started playing Games Workshop Vandals Battles, and I played the miniature games and went for 40k as well up to my teen years, and had to do the military duty and started going to professional studies or whatever after those 20s. So I met this guy who introduced me to the game later on, but I had like a, let's say, 5 or 6 years pause at least during that time.
All right. So just a quick overview of the format again. We will talk to each other for about 45, 50 minutes, and that'll be the main episode of the podcast that's free to everyone. And then there will be a bonus episode that's about the same length that will be for people who support the podcast through Patreon. So, to start off, we're going to have a bunch of questions from the Patreon supporters. And the first one is from the Magnificent Bambleweenie. And he says, does Convergence suffer markedly from its relatively limited merc options outside of Strange Bedfellows? And how much flexibility does Strange Bedfellows provide that isn't available in other themes?
It's a bit tricky question. I'd start with the Strange Bedfellows things. That at least the Strange Bedfellows, for me, it provides a lot of different options we didn't really have in the Convergence before this. Especially, I'm maining the Aurora 1 Strange Bedfellows list at the moment. It's very, very focused on being quite fast. There's a lot of cheap dirt units that actually hit really hard, and there's a lot of solos gaining the vengeance from killing anything. So it's it basically punishes the opponent for killing models unless he or she naturally can kill them in sufficient numbers. But outside of that, I think that most of our available merc solos are pretty good, even outside being friendly faction, which is also a huge benefit from the Strange Bedfellows. But the thing is that the Destruction Initiative is really hamstrung on that one. So they can select Asphyxis 4 as well, and they get Nemo 4 natively. But for instance, they cannot get the Destructron. They would love to have Widget, but Widget is not a partisan, so she cannot actually use the ancillary attack special rule and stuff like that. So I'd say it's pretty horrible for Destruction Initiative and doable for Clockwork Legions, as you get the James and the D3K there, and with the both of those Void Archons. But I think in general it's 50-50 thing. Still, the Strange Bedfellows really actually builds up to it and gives us something new that we really didn't have any before that.
I've played a fair bit of Convergence myself, and it's one of my armies that I, my paint scheme is one of my favorite painted armies that I have. And like, he's certainly right that, you know, obviously the merc options that Convergence have are a lot more limited than the other factions, but it always felt to me that like the faction was kind of designed from the ground up to be that way, and so I guess I didn't generally feel like I was missing that much, but that was also before like the advent of the Hermit or the Archons or stuff like that. And so do you feel like the it's been exacerbated with kind of these more recent releases?
Yeah, for sure. I think so. Especially the Archons and the Super Juniors coming out was a like super major thing. But naturally, we get both of the Super Juniors, so that's not a big deal. But the Void Archon is such a broken model that if it wouldn't be working for Convergence, I actually think we would be struggling a lot more. It's generating so much so good valued attacks and things we didn't really have before that. So even just that one solo is so good that I think it hadn't been such a big issue before the era of the Archons.
Okay. That makes sense. So his follow-up question is the Transfinite Emergence Projector still meta-relevant?
I actually spent quite a lot of time thinking about this, and I still want to say that it's still a decent thing. I think it's a little unhappy about its theme in Destruction Initiative, but I understand it's there. I mean, the PP's point of view why it's there. But the more I thought about it, it felt like it's one of the original battle engines that was actually good, so they fixed a lot of other battle engines, maybe, based on some experience from the TEP. And now the TEP just feels like it suffers a lot because the game has gotten quite a few releases lately that threat from very far away and are quite durable and can do stuff that the TEP really doesn't have too good answer for, like super high armor jacks, like the gobbler thing that came just out. Things like that make TEP look...
Malvin and Marvin?
So. Yeah, that one. That makes TEP look a lot worse than what it used to be. But if you figure out a list for it, where you actually have a point where it's why it's there, it still should be pretty good. So, no, well, not pretty good, but playable, at least.
So, it sounds like right now, your current pairing is... Strange Bedfellows and Clockwork Legions, is that correct?
Yes.
And so is part of the issue for you with getting that battle engine on the table just it also being in the other theme list that you're not playing?
The Destruction.
And Destruction Initiative, yeah.
It might be part of it, but mostly I think the thing is that it costs like 19 points, I think. And mm-hmm. it's one of those models that really can... It cannot tank even one, let's say, budget heavy that can get into it. The thing is that it naturally will shoot a lot of things down, but there's a lot of things that will prevent it shooting. For instance, clouds, which are again there in shape for Asphyxis 4 or something like that, prevent it shooting effectively, even with the eyeless sight objective. With 19 points, it's without sufficient defenses, quite vulnerable to being taken out with relative ease. And I mean, like, the protection should be something like Axis's Feet that prevents you charging to it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I remember in back kind of the heyday of the Transfinite Emergence Projector that whether it was Axis's Feet or Lucant's Feet or whatever, it wasn't too uncommon to see people who basically had two of the battle engine as kind of the core of their list, and in a lot of ways that was viewed by people playing against Convergence as like, this is kind of a really big problem that I have to think about how I'm going to answer this issue. And while I would agree with you that it feels playable, it doesn't feel like people have that same mentality where like no one's going like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do if someone puts two Transfinite Emergent Projectors on the table?
But there's also the fact that now if I would go and play two of those, it would be super fun to see if people actually knew how to play versus them.
Yeah, that's definitely true. That is the way that these things go.
Yeah. There was this guy back here in Finland who just tinkered around a list with Orion, who has the Spell Piercer and the stupid feet, Hypagani. So he had two of the teps, and all the rest of the points are just the new shooty lights, because the teps can clear the lights from melee, and the rest of the jacks just shoot everything down. Tessellators.
All right, so our next question from Setomador, he says, I know you had a lot of success with Aurora 1, despite her rules not changing, but due to the various buffs to other units and themes in the faction, is there any other convergence caster who had their stocks go up?
Yes, I think basically everyone got up. Maybe the Suntharion is the worst of them all, or maybe Locke, not sure yet. Well, Locke is actually quite good with the Road to War and Asphyxis 4 now that I think of it. But everyone got buff in form of Asphyxis 4 because this is the Construct faction. So basically even the infantrylists, if you want to actually play the infantry Clockwork Legions, gets a threat buff versus living stuff. A lot of the heavier infantry units got something good for going to them, especially the Eradicators got really, really good, in my opinion. We've gotten this solo once some time back, the Frustrum Locus, which wasn't even part of the CID, and it's really good. It's adding a lot that we really missed. You can get the negative buffs away from your units with that, for instance. What else? The Void. The Void is still really good with anyone. I'd say I'd pick, after Auroras, I'd say Axis and Lucant really like the new changes and new things.
One of the CID changes that interested me as someone who had played some of the faction was the stuff that was being tested for, algorithmic dispersion optifacts. And so this had been a solo that was a channeler, and then it had added on the induction relay rule that says, while in this model's command range, when a friendly faction warjack with an interface node gives focus to another warjack, increase the focus induction range by 3 inches.
And yeah.
So that was a rule that I thought was actually pretty cool and flavorful, but I wasn't actually sure how actually impactful it was going to end up being.
I think it made a lot of things more possible, especially with the new fast flying light melee lights, because they are so fast that they actually run away from each other with the just basic movement if you don't have these guys with you.
Mm-hmm. So have they been a pretty valuable part in some of your lists then?
Yes, at my off list, which is Lucant and Clockwork Legions, naturally only basically robots. So it's quite valuable that, first of all, I can cast positive charge wherever I need to go, and then they can run between places and be as induction relays, so that the flying warjacks actually can induct to each other or back to corollary, whatever. But basically the idea is that you don't want ever to let that focus go to waste because we don't have the power up.
Yeah.
Very good point, by the way.
What's that?
A very good point about the induction relay. I didn't even think of it.
I guess before we go on, since this will probably come up in some of the other questions, what the two lists that you're playing right now, what do those two lists currently kind of look like?
So the thing I think I call the main list is Aurora 1. So the battle group looks a little odd because it's in Strange Bedfellows. I'm actually running just two mules, the old Merc Jacks with her. And then I have, let me get it for you here. I have all the super solos. So I have two Voids, Destructathron 3000, Hermit of Hengehold, Frustrum Locus, James. Then I have two units of Mechanithralls with three Brutes in each, Asphyxis 4 with a Strike, and two units of Negation and Angels.
And how does this list usually play out, or what does it do on the table?
Well, it's the oppressive speed, and the Brute Thralls actually brought me some models into the list that actually are very cheap, and they hit really hard. I have a Dark Shroud and the Hermit thing, and the Hermit can, if you give my Solos Vengeance for, let's say, the Hermit, it can deliver the -2 armor aura up to 20 inches under Aurora 1's feet, which is pretty good. So everything hits quite hard. The warrior models can boost from Aurora, including Asphyxius 4 and Void Archons. So it's quite accurate and really like hard-hitting list that comes very far away. If you give the Void Archons Vengeance and there's a sufficient charge target, it can go 23 inches to melee each turn.
Yeah, it does seem like Asphyxius 4 and the Void Archons being able to use the focus on Aurora 1 to boost is really good.
Yeah, just have to remember that the Voids can't use those boosts to shoot. They can use their own souls for that, but...
All right, so what about your off-list then?
Okay, so this is basically design versus three lists that I had in my mind, because I feel that Aurora can deal with everything else. So it's Father Lucant in Clockwork Legions. I have a Corollary, Diffuser, one Inverter, and I have five Negators, two Void Archons, Hermit of the Henchhold as my Merc slot, and then I have two Algorithmic Dispersion Optifexes, as we just discussed, Asphyxius 4 with Double Stalkers, Optifex Directive, and the Frustum Locus. So the lists I intend to play this in are basically Siege 1 from Signar, then there's this spellcaster whose name I can't remember now in the Infernals. You know the name.
Agathon?
Agathon, yes, thank you. And the last one is Sirenia from Protectorate of Menoth. So, first of all, I can tank a lot of shooting with the deceleration feat and the Field Marshal of Shield Guard. I can spread the damage quite around, so everything should stay functional. I have three really big bullies, Asphy, Lucant, and Inverter in the middle of the table. Basically, they can take whatever they want down. Versus Agathon, I have Diesel, I have a lot of boxes. I have the Frustrum Locus to give me some minus range to spells, because I keep losing Asphyxius 4 to the Junior's Dark Seduction spell, which is super annoying. Mm. And then versus Sirenia, I can use Asphyxius 4 and load the Stalkers to kill the Menite Archons with the positive charge. They are Mat 9, PS16, so they can be up to Mat 11 if they get to backside. And Asphyxius 4 can also cast a cloud on top of, or just for Avatar, so I can ignore the gaze. Everything I have in the list hits quite hard. And especially the Negators are really stupid because they have flanked to each other. So with positive charge, and if I get both Dark Shroud and the Hermit Aura, they can be Mat 10 PS16 Weapon Masters.
All right. So with that as the background, we'll go ahead and jump back into talking about the questions that listeners had.
Okay.
So Settlemador, his follow-up question is, how important have Asphyxius 4 and Nemo 4 been for conversions?
About Nemo 4, I'm not too sure. It's he goes again to the Strange Bedfellows and to Destruction Initiative, and I've been trying to build a list on Orion to be using Nemo, but I haven't really come up with anything spectacular, at least yet. But on the other hand, I think Asphyxius 4 is like half of the faction identity. He's so good with the constructs in the list, so there's no reason why not to take him.
So what is it that Asphyxius 4 brings to the table that has been so important for conversions?
He brings both, he's basically a beatstick melee monster by himself, and he has flight, and he's a unit, an easily scorable unit when you need that one. He brings a damage buff, he brings cloud wall, and especially he brings bloodthirsty to constructs, meaning that the constructs that are in his leadership, command aura, gain plus 2 inches of movement during the charge if they charge something that's living.
And obviously that command aura is more than just his own battle group. It'll be anything in his force that's in the command. Is that correct?
Yeah, and it's command aura, not control command.
Yeah, command. I mean, yeah.
9 inches from anyway from him.
Okay, so next question is from Zap Brannigan. He says, what casters and lists would you recommend for a new convergence player?
Oh, that's a tricky one. I think the player first needs to decide if he wants to play robots or if he wants to play infantry. And if he wants to play robots, then I think you should go, most of the times you should go to Destruction Initiative and just build up something. The new lights are pretty, expensive money-wise, because they're like $20-something per piece, and you want at least like four, preferably more. But if you want to play infantry, you can select either Clockwork Legions or the Strange Bedfellows. Strange Bedfellows is a bit odd theme in a sense that you really don't use any convergence infantry besides maybe the angel units. So you would possibly have to buy some non-convergence units.
And within each of those themes, which casters do you think are best for newer players?
For robots, I would go to either Lucant or maybe Locke and Orion. If you want to play guns, go Orion. He's a really good gun caster for robots. And with Clockwork Legion's infantry, I would definitely go for Axis or Lucant. Lucant is a bit troublesome, for he cannot actually give any speed or Pathfinder or anything like that to our infantry, which we generally lack. But he gives good aura, good defensive feat, deceleration, and the positive charge is a really big thing. And if you play Strange Bedfellows, pick Aura 1 or Aura 2. I don't know which. It's just the one that actually you like better, be it aesthetics or some spell or whatever you like. I personally love the Aura Genesis spell.
So have you had a chance yet to play much of Aura 2? And what have your thoughts been of her, if you have?
I haven't played, but I've been tinkering around. So for me, it feels like she's bringing a lot benefits to the angel units, because she can give them the barrier so they don't die to explosions anymore, and also the -3 range to hit them. And under her feet, the flying things do a lot of damage. So it feels like you're playing some super fast, super scalpel type list that you actually want to just remove the needed models and either do the assassination, which I think she should be pretty good with, or not sure if she's durable enough to play long scenarios, but maybe Blitz a scenario for herself.
Okay. So the follow-up question from Zap Brannigan is, are there any model/units to avoid when starting out, and anything that a new player should focus on learning?
Now, the first thing naturally is the induction thing. You really want to learn to maximize the rotation of your focus, because we really don't have the power up, and our jacks are always going to be relatively important piece of our lists. Maybe besides the Strange Bedfellows, where I don't run the convergence jacks, just for that I get the power ups. Induction is the most important thing for me. Models that I would avoid, for sure, is the Mitigator. I have no idea what's its function is in the faction. It's a light jack that has a, like, let's say, range 8 gun or something that knocks down and does one automatic point of damage to everyone in AoE 3 if it hits. Costs 7 points and the range is 7. So it's I don't understand it. Well, I don't know. I think everything else has at least some kind of a functional point in the faction, but the Mitigator is bad.
What would you, and I guess this is kind of piggybacks off of his earlier question, but what would you say are some of the foundational or core models that for people who are looking at starting convergence?
Or naturally the Corollary. Possibly the Diffuser, basically giving the 3 charges and 2 inches more of threat out of jacks. Inverter is for sure our heavy hitter out of the jacks. The knockdown weapon is such a good thing. For units, priests, both angel units, and depending on how your list looks like, I would go either the small-based melee dudes or eradicators as units. I'm not sure if I would be playing either of our Colossals, maybe the Prime Conflux, if you play Orion and the Electricity Hell in Destruction Initiative. But I think the thing is really the Corollary. It gives a lot, and it's a good centerpiece to build around with the increasing of our control area and the focus battery rule.
Yeah, it's kind of funny to me now, this has been a long time ago at this point, but at the launch of the faction, we, you know, we saw like the book of what was going to all be coming out, and it was immediately obvious that the corollary was going to be, you know, a kind of a keystone piece for the faction. And then it took a really long time for that model to actually release. And like all the Convergence players were like really struggling because it was obvious this was a super important piece for their faction, and they just didn't have it available. So
yeah.
All right. So next question is from Tokunator. He says, how viable is an obstructors and reciprocators based shield wall list?
Depends on the caster, especially with the small base, so the obstructors. I think they are really good still. And especially now that we get the damage buffs quite easily into the lists, they are actually even better because they had decently good powered weapon and they have reach and chain weapon and stuff like that. So they are really good. Reciprocators, I'm a bit hesitant to say that they are good. I really like them. I think they are our best looking units. I always try to build these Lucant Iron Giants, so Mark II theme list. But it's 16 points and 5 attacks per turn. Feels a bit lackluster.
So one of the lists that I remember watching a finals game of at Warfare Weekend, it was Jason Watt was playing and this was before, you know, the updates to the faction. He was playing, I'm pretty sure it was Axis, with a Clockwork Legion list where he was just had a swarm of models, and he had his 4 Enigma Foundries, and he was just kind of trying to do a recursion game where he would swarm his opponent, and it's kind of a question list to see if they had the tools to be able to answer that particular list, and he was doing really well, and a lot of people didn't have an answer for it, and he, you know, was steamrolling over people and then got into the finals. And then in the finals, he faced a Ghost Fleet player.
Ouch.
And this was before, you know, Ghost Fleet had its nerfs. And like the Ghost Fleet recursion was just flat out better than than what Convergence had. But since then, the Ghost Fleet has obviously been nerfed. And so do you think that there is, I guess, a space again for a list like that that is just kind of trying to spam the opponent with a bunch of models?
A bit yes and no. I think it's not ever going to be the same that it was in the Mark II, so it's never going to be the sustained attack theme force that you always slam 12 new models to guy's face and hope for the miracle. But I think that you can now comfortably run like 3 units of obstructors and have relatively big battle group and all those crucial good solos in the midst and a few units of angels and stuff like that. So in a sense, I think it's like at least partially back, and there's for sure there is a room for it. I think it plays on some level the same game as my Aurora list. It's just a bit slower, but it has the recursion going for it.
Okay. And do you think that Axis is still likely the caster that you would be
Axis
looking
our
at
boy.
With that?
They need to make Axis too. He needed to survive that battle. For sure, he's such a good model. He fixes by himself the biggest issue of Convergence infantry, which is the lack of Pathfinder, by giving Onslaught.
Yeah. All right, so Jacob says, Jonas, thank you for taking the time to talk all things Convergence. Really excited. And then he has a list of questions for you. So number one, is Strange Bedfellows an auto-include theme for a tournament pairing with Convergence?
In its current format and in its current shape, meaning that the models that are in it and they don't get nerfed to Oblivion, yes.
What are the models that you're maybe concerned might see adjustment?
I think they need to get adjustment. So I think at least Asphyxes for both Voids, at least those need to be dealt with. They're too good at the moment. I have to admit it.
Okay. And so what does Strange Bedfellows list bring to your pairing that you feel like this theme is almost a must-have for a tournament pairing?
As I said, it's the first list that we actually have a long range Lowland. It's not extreme range shooting or anything like that, the Siege one, but it brings a lot of attacks that come from a far away. I don't have to think about the terrain with the Aerogenesis in my Warriors list. They hit relatively hard. There are models that are like dirt cheap, and I actually want you to kill my models so my solos get the vengeance and threat again stupid distances. And then on top of that, even though it's not the most focus efficient thing, when you need it, Aurora can give boosts to needed models. It's very good assassination when you get it running.
All right, so his second question, he says, Morten Auber 2, does she work in Strange Bedfellows? And if so, how do you get the most out of her feat, if it's even possible?
We had this discussion. We played this Vassal League. It was before the war table with Jakob, so we discussed this briefly with him. But I'm also at him at the stage that I really want to play more than ever too. The model is gorgeous and stuff like that, but I really don't see what I would do. I always find out myself doing these robot gun lines in Strange Bedfellows, like, oh my god, yeah, I get Nemo 4 and stuff like that. And then I realize that I have Orion. Why would I ever play Morten Eber 2?
Yeah.
She's just so odd.
Yeah, it feels like she's definitely a caster where, you know, you can get interested in her, start building lists, etc. And then eventually at some point in the list building process, you're like, you know, this list would just be better with someone else.
Yeah, it's painful. So, Jakob, I'm sorry. My answer is still yes. It's just not worth playing Morten Eber 2 in Strange Bedfellows.
All right, so question 3. He says, Colossals and Conversions. Do the Blockader and Galleon have a greater impact in games than the Axiom and Conflux?
At least Thumb of Rule, yeah. I think the Conflux is super good with the Orion Electrical, whatever, Misery list. That's like super good, especially with the fix now that the ball gets actually dropped down in the maintenance phase, so it can buff itself. Because before that, it actually was, if you didn't have any of those electrical damage buffing balls on the table, it was like power 13 to 33 points colossal with gun. So it was quite sad. But in that list, it's very good. I think so. Prime Axiom is something I still want to play, but when we are living in a world where we have like, am I mistaken if I say that the Blockader costs 32 points?
I can look that up real quick. I think that sounds about right.
Because Prime Axiom costs 37. So I'm slightly hesitant to say that I would have any use for Prime Axiom at the moment.
33 for the Blockader.
Yeah, okay. But still, the Prime Axiom's drags are like super good, but there is so many things you can do to prevent the drags that I cannot at the moment build any list around it.
And do you kind of feel the same way with the Galleon, or where the Blockader kind of overshadows it, or are there some situations where you do end up liking the Galleon?
Huh. Maybe the Galleon is better with Hotshot if he rolls really well with the blasts, but I still think the Blockader is by far the best. At least it's most generalist, so you can put it on any list and it's pretty good by itself. But at least I think all of these other guys need some idea or trick or jank tank to make them work.
And honestly, it feels like on most of those, the rules on them are fine. And if they just had like a small point adjustment, then it would go a long ways on making them see the table.
Yeah, and I cannot undervalue the factor that Prime Axiom actually drops down all these separate solos that can be really, really good when you need them. But it's 37 points that you invest in hopes that you get high-valued drags out, which is super tricky, especially now that we have 5 scenarios with objective that prevents drags.
All right, so his next question is, one second. He says, what do you feel is the minimum number of Negation Angel units to field and couple with Prefect Hypatia for optimal impact?
I think even one unit is quite good. They are self-sufficient. They get the gang bonus, which is enough. With Hypatia, with the solo, I think I would like to run two units because they actually, with Asphyxis 4 especially, they threat quite stupid amounts versus living models, so they can be really, really good. So let's say with the solo, two units. If you don't have the solo, even one unit is really good.
All right. And what do you? So this is a little bit newer model. What do I guess? Can you describe to the people listening what this unit does, and I guess what they kind of bring to the table for convergence?
Okay. So Negation Angels are 1 point more costly unit of the Clockwork Angels unit that we had. The difference is that these guys do not have Reposition 3 or magical weapons. They have gun as well. It has 2 inches less range, and it's electrical damage type, so you can buff it with either Destructothron or the Prime Conflux, whatever the induction balls are called. They have better power in their weapons. They have Prowl. And they have, in their ranged weapons, they have crit paralysis, and in their melee weapons, they have flat paralysis. So living models cannot charge or run and trample and stuff like that, and it's unshakable thing. They also are still defense 14 with the blade shield, so they are defense 16 versus shooting.
Okay. And what lists are they most commonly making an impact in right now?
Both themes they go in, actually. I play them, if I just have the spot for the list, let's say that I want to have some units, I will most likely drop them both to Strange Bedfellows Fellows and Clockwork Legions. I think you cannot even get them in Destruction Initiative.
All right. So, next question. He says, what do you feel are some overlooked and undervalued models in conversions, post-CID? Jacks, troops, solos, etc.?
I think out of our troops, I think, as I've mentioned earlier on, the structures are still quite good, and eradicators for sure, especially if you have any way of giving them Pathfinder, they can be quite good. And if you bring that infantry, then you actually want to bring in the Enigma Foundries, naturally. They still, nowadays, even though this is a recursion list that you can actually dismantle, unlike the Ghost Fleet, they still nowadays, they can both bring back dudes and fix, for instance, the medium-based guys, which is super nice. Also, Frustrum Locus is something, when it was released, I was super, actually, unhappy about it. But now that I've played it, I find it to be very, very key. It has offensive or defensive taking the dispel, so taking spells out. It's a boost that double boosted power 12 with the boosts coming up quite easily to it if you want to. And it's placed magical, naturally, and in Enigma chassis, so it's really tricky to shoot off the table. Out of Jacks, I think still Inverter is still really good, but maybe the Negators, they are a bit too good at the moment. Even they're too cheap for all the rules they have. They have 2 initial melee attacks with the crit amputate, so if you get the crits, they get to be really obnoxious, and the flank to each other, so they are really good. But they are not overlooked. Maybe the modulators, they seem to be a bit overlooked. But they naturally, the issue is that they have only one list they actually for work with, and it's a good reason to overlook them, but they are still quite good. The Tharn seat dropped, and the Tharn were everywhere with Iana running, so my only drop to the circle was Orion with the all electrical jacks, because each and every one of those has the plasma nimbus, so if they hit you, they get zapped back, and it's not attack, so they don't heal and stuff like that. Out of solos, I really like also the Destructothron. It's super good.
All right, so this next one is Jacob's last question, and the last question from the Patreon supporters. And he says, Aurora 1 or Aurora 2, who has the competitive edge, and who do you enjoy playing more, and why?
frankly, I don't know who has the competitive edge. I haven't played enough Aurora 2 to know that. But personally, if I just look flat the card and the caster, I am a bit more into Aurora 1 just because she's a type of caster I really like playing. So she's buffing her infantry, and when the game starts going badly for my on my side of the game, it still feels that I can do something. If I have even one of the angels left, I can still go and fish for the assassination. Maybe it's the Aerogenesis spell, but I really like my flying infantry. I have no better answer to this one.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll go ahead and pause our conversation here, and we will pick it back up in the bonus episode for the people who are supporting the Patreon. So wanted to thank you very much for doing this episode again and for sharing your knowledge and the information about Convergence.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you everyone for listening and for supporting Discount Games, or sorry, supporting the Meta podcast. And check out Discount Games Inc. and check out Muse on Minis. So thanks again, and everyone have a good day.